Today I'll be presenting some work conducted at the University of Pennsylvania. My co-authors Alexandra Koujoutakis, Aslihan Sen, and Charlie Slominski were three undergraduate students that worked in my lab over the last couple summers. And we conducted a series of small experiments as a side project to a project in collaboration with Johann Six at Davis and Rich Conant and Elder Paul at NREL at Colorado State, where we were looking, the broader project was looking at temperature sensitivity of soil organic matter. And we were trying to, in this experiment, isolate one of the protection mechanisms that we think is involved in stabilizing organic matter, and trying to look at how temperature sensitivity and physical protection were related. So as I always tell my students in the class, here's your obvious statement of the obvious for the day. Soil organic matter is the balance of carbon inputs and carbon outputs. And under climate change scenarios, there are various possibilities with increased atmospheric CO2, increased net primary productivity, we may have increased inputs. But on the flip side, we would also anticipate that with higher temperatures with climate change, that we could anticipate higher rates of decomposition and potentially a net loss of carbon from soils. And in fact, it becomes very quickly obvious that increased temperatures in soils that would increase heterotrophic respiration would add CO2 to the atmosphere. Adding more CO2 to the atmosphere would increase the greenhouse effect, and you get a positive, very scary positive feedback effect. So what we intended to look at was the specific protection mechanisms to soil organic matter. And if we consider that soil organic matter, if we assume that much of the soil organic matter is protected biochemically, then using thermodynamics and enzyme chain assessments, we can logically see that soil organic matter would be temperature sensitive, so that in fact, the thermodynamics suggest that more recalcitrant organic matter is actually more temperature sensitive. But the temperature sensitivity of physically protected organic matter isn't quite as obvious, because there's no obvious effect other than if aggregates themselves were temperature sensitive, which would be only an indirect effect. But given a set of aggregates, there's no reasonable way to expect that the organic matter protected within them would be temperature sensitive. And so we thought that this may be a mechanism by which temperature sensitivity might be actually attenuated. And so our hypothesis for the experiments was that the increase to resistance of decomposition afforded by physical protection would actually decrease the sensitivity of soil organic matter to changes or increases in temperature. And we tested this with two very simple experiments. And yesterday in one of the sessions, Peter Grofman proposed an interaction between biology and physics by using crushing experiments, and that's exactly the approach that we took. The first experiment was to take a set of treatments where we actually sequentially destroyed the physical structure that we anticipated was at least partially responsible for the protection of that organic matter. And the second experiment was to specifically locate substrates within the matrix or outside of the matrix, and therefore would have different, would be subject to different, potentially different physical protection and temperature sensitivity. So the soil that we used was collected from the experimental research station close to Penn State. Even though I'm at Penn and Penn State's in the middle of the state, there is the people at Penn love to make that distinction. The soil is a silt loam, which was 67% silt and 17% clay, so it's a well-aggregated soil. Soil organic carbon content was almost 2%, and so we targeted this soil in an abandoned pasture where we knew we would have good macro-aggregate stable structure. And so from the field, we collected a series of intact cores as well as a block of soil that we can manipulate more extensively. So in the first experiment that I'll call the crushing experiment, which was Charlie's experiment, we had three treatments. We took a series of the intact cores, and then we took other intact cores and broke the contents of those cores and sieved it to less than 2 millimeters. We took a third set of these intact cores and took the materials from those cores and crushed them dry to less than 75 microns. So following on from Claire's presentation, we got to much finer destruction of the physical structure, and mainly that's because we were doing it dry and we weren't gumming up our sieves completely and creating these lovely little pellets. From these dry and crushed and sieved conditions, we re-wetted the samples to 55% of water-filled pore space and incubated them for 15 days at 3 different temperatures. So this is a very short-term response. 15 days is very little of the organic matter is actually going to be participating in the incubation, but we think that was sufficient to get a response. So the results, in just a summary here, if we look at the three rows across the temperatures, we see that sieving and crushing increased CO2 respiration during the incubation. So this is the total amount of CO2 that was respired over the 15-day period. And as previously published, the sieving, the destruction of that physical structure, increased respiration. And in fact, this, about 15 years ago, was essentially the germ for the idea of physical protection. When Mike Baer and others sort of proposed that the difference in respiration was the amount that was being physically protected. And we also see a definite temperature response of the respiration data. And with increasing temperature, we get increasing respiration, which is, again, not so novel. When we calculate Q10, and in this case, Q10 is simply the ratio of the amount of CO2 respired at the higher temperature divided by the amount of CO2 respired at the lower temperature, we find that if we take the 25-15 temperature change compared to the 35-25 temperature change, we get the normal response of lower Q10 values for the higher temperatures. But what we didn't find was a response with the physical protection. So in essence, that in this situation, in what we observed, there was no response to temperature sensitivity attributable to our destruction of structural integrity. In the second experiment, which was conducted by Aslahan, she took the block soil, which was 2 millimeters sieved, and produced a series of cakes that had labeled residue included within the cake or added afterwards. So we would essentially create a slurry, add residue to it, allow it to dry to a point where we could sieve it to create essentially artificial 1 to 3 millimeter aggregates. And so these are large macro aggregates. On the third treatment, where residue was added to the exterior, we created that cake without the residue, created our aggregates, and then added the residue to the outside of those aggregates in our incubation chamber. And the residue that we added was C13 labeled, so we could see the respiration that was specifically derived from that residue. And we incubated under the same conditions as the previous experiment, but only at the 2 temperatures and for a longer period of time. The results of that experiment, if we look, are separated now by temperature here. We measured the isotopic signature of the respired CO2 at the very beginning of the experiment. And again, sorry, the very beginning of the experiment is after a week of pre-incubation to allow the microbes to settle down and go through their normal flush of CO2. So in fact, day one is our first day of measurement, but it's a week after everything has sort of been established. And then 10 days and 30 days into the incubation. So we see in the control soil, we see the signature of the organic matter from the soil. And here in the amended treatments inside and outside for both temperatures, we're seeing the signal of that labeled residue, which is highly labeled. And we also see the decrease in the proportion of the CO2 that is actually being sourced from that as added residue. And if we were to plot these numbers, we have a very slight change in the rate at which this material is being decomposed in inside versus outside. And as well, we would have higher slopes of decomposition at the higher temperature. although the differences between inside and outside are much smaller than the differences between temperature. So going from the isotopic signature of that respired CO2, just the total amount of CO2, in these cases we had much higher amounts of respiration than in the previous experiment, and the control had slightly less CO2 than the other, mainly because the amount of residue that we were adding was rather small. We were only adding an amount equivalent to approximately half of an annual input. And from the two different, again, the two different temperatures, we see higher total CO2. Looking at the response of inside versus outside, given the error bars around these values, I would probably say that there's no difference. If you see a difference, let me know. I love imaginative people. And again, the same sort of response in the Q10. The Q10 here being, again, the ratio of total CO2 respired at 35 divided by 25, and we don't see a trend in the Q10 response. So in summary, and again, this is sort of a preliminary set of experiments where we were trying to isolate physical protection aside from biochemical protection or chemical or mineral association protection. In these small experiments, we were unable to demonstrate a potential attenuation of temperature sensitivity by physical protection. We had anticipated that by releasing the physical structure, we would be releasing the organic matter, and it would be more temperature sensitive than things that would be locked away. But we didn't necessarily see that. One of the reasons for that may be that the temperature sensitivity really very much is, just like the overall stabilization of organic matter, much more driven by biochemical recalcitrance, which is very much temperature sensitive. And for any of you that know me or know my research well, that's a difficult thing for me to say, because I've always been coming at it from the physical protection and hypothesizing that matrix effects are far more important than biochemistry in soils. And so in this situation, I'm reversing my argument and saying temperature sensitivity, it is probably very much driven by the biochemistry of that organic matter. So it's quick closing to this. Accomplishments, Curtis Dell at the research station at Penn State for helping us find the soil that would best suit our needs, as well as funding from NSF for the main project, as well as the undergraduate funding, and then University of Pennsylvania for funding Charlie over the last summer. I'd be happy to entertain questions at this point. Normally I would say no, in the sense that you normally, as a longer experiment, things approach themselves. I don't think so. I think the physical protection overall in the environment is an ephemeral process anyhow. And so I would expect the response to be rather rapid and obvious. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And even if you separated out basically the stabilized diuretics from the unstabilized diuretics, you might see some differences in temperature sensitivity.
Right. Right. That's an important point. In the first experiment, in our crushing experiment, we basically sifted 2 millimeters and used the entire core material, and then crushed and used the entire core material. In the second experiment, we created these artificial aggregates, but didn't actually test them for stability. They were sieved moist, but they weren't wet sieved, so we weren't using water-stable aggregates. And that could definitely affect what we're seeing. In a previous experiment that Alex did, we actually isolated water-stable macroaggregates and crushed those, just the aggregates. And what we found was that there wasn't even a response in increased mineralization to carbon. And that part of that was that we only crushed it to 100 microns, 150 microns. And so, and you see this in the literature, that this increase in respiration can be hit and miss, and a lot of it depends on how finely you crush it, particularly if your site of stabilization are fine microaggregates rather than more coarse microaggregates.
One question. This was done with one soil.
This was done with one soil.
Yes.
And particularly different parent materials where physical protection may be more or less biotic as opposed to abiotic. So the formation of those aggregates being driven by organic matter as opposed to iron oxides or things like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you.